Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, coming to you from the northwest portion of Gitmo Nation on the Queen's birthday.
Hello. This is No Agenda.
That's right. Coming to you from the Crackpot Command Center backup location in San Francisco, California. It's Adam Curry and hopefully someone else on the other end.
Hey, I'm here in sunny, as a matter of fact, peculiarly sunny Amsterdam, Gitmo Nation, Netherlands. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Okay, we've been at it for about an hour now. Oops, there goes my microphone. We've had nothing but technical problems this morning.
Yeah, it's rather weird. But the one technical problem I didn't have is that the sun came out today, and it actually was an outstanding day here on Queen's Day, which is something of an event.
So let's get into it, man. How has Queen's Day been? This is your first experience. It's the national swap meet in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Well, let me just describe it or summarize for people who might want to check it out. Infinite number of drunks. Absolute death.
You don't say.
And the funny thing is that they come in, all the parties are Wednesday night, and apparently the English are the worst offenders.
Oh, yeah, they come over just to tear the town up, don't they?
So they come over, but I'm told they come over for the Wednesday night parties. They party all night. And then they keep going to the next day, and then they get kind of tired, I guess, because things start to crank up again around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then by 6 or 7 or 8, they leave. They party for 24 hours and leave.
But, you know, they do that every single weekend anyway. I mean, this is just normal fare for the Brits. They hop on the easy jets. They bust on over. They don't even get a hotel room often. They just they'll just sleep it off on the street corner.
I'm telling you, I don't understand how what a miserable flight it must be on an easy jet from Amsterdam to London after a weekend.
I don't know if you actually took advantage of the Taxi Eric service. Probably not.
Not yet. I didn't have to.
Okay, but he will not take anyone to an easy jet flight who's British on Monday morning or Sunday evening. He won't do it.
Of course not. He doesn't want to have to clean up his cab.
Exactly. Exactly. It's nasty. How was the party last night, man? The one I hooked you up with.
I thought the party was good. We got there a little late, so whatever drinks that were served into our little mini area were stolen. So that was... It wasn't too,
well, what time? What time did you get there? Because I sent you a message saying you should get there.
Yeah, I didn't get the message.
Oh, okay.
We were doing something else. In fact, we were at dinner, so I didn't get there until about 11.
Oh, you shite! Yeah,
but the party, the real entertainment at the party, didn't really start till midnight.
Right.
So, but it was a little packed. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was good.
Yeah, it was good. I got to meet your friend.
Yeah,
she's taller than you.
Yeah, isn't she awesome?
Yeah, she's quite nice. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she's like 6'3", and she wears a top hat and heels. So it's like...
I hope you took a picture.
I had to stand on a box.
Hi, you're Adam's friend. Hold on. What's the weather like up there?
It's raining. So anyway, but you know, when I left to come to this thing, you know, to all this stuff, the weather prediction was going to just be raining all week.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, yesterday, about 10 in the morning, just stopped, and it was actually cleared up, and there's a blue sky.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is actually kind of interesting. But the thing that's the most interesting about this, and I've got a lot of footage, which I'll post on the blog, is these party boats.
Oh, on the canals. Yeah, this is the big thing right now, during the day.
Yeah. And it's like everybody gets these barges, and they load them up. They overcapacitize them, as it were. I mean, and I can say that knowing it, because I got to witness a boat sinking.
It does happen from time to time. Too many people on the barge.
Well, this was actually a smaller boat, and we're coming, and I took a big boat tour just because I was getting tired of walking around. And I just wanted to relax. And we're going through underneath where the Movenpick is, which is the hotel I'm staying at, actually.
Which hotel?
The Movenpick.
Do you know the street name?
It's right on the water, down from the...
Yeah, that helps. Okay. It's right on the water.
You know where the central terminal is?
The central station, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
If
oh,
you
I
take
know where
a look,
you are. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so this boat, I guess the guy was paying attention or something, and he rammed the pier, And the boat, instead of just hitting the pier and bouncing back, it kind of ran up the pier because it had one of those curved hulls.
And, so the back went in the water.
Yeah, it went up the hill. The back went in the water. Everybody fell backwards, and then it was weighted it down more. And then the back went in the water, and it immediately sunk.
Oh, that is kind of funny.
Well, it wasn't. Luckily, nobody got hurt, but luckily there was a raft right near it, and so they just pulled over and picked them up. And then as we were leaving, I've got pictures of all this, by the way. You'll find them quite amusing. I was going to turn them over the newspapers, but I can't get them off the camera. But anyway, I'm going to blog it.
Yeah.
So we're leaving, and as we go through the hole, the under the canal thing, one of the police boats, I guess, to go check this out, came roaring by at about 70 miles an hour, just with three cops in it. You know, I figured they're going to investigate this thing because it was actually something to see. I wish I had I was shooting with the DSLR rather than the little movie camera. It would have been, on YouTube, it would have gotten a lot of attention. Because it was actually quite interesting to watch it happen.
You can't get the pictures off your flash drive or your flash card because it's still hosed. Is that the problem?
No. Just because I don't have the converter to load it into the machine.
Okay.
But I didn't bring it. But anyway, it was interesting because when this thing sank, it kind of started taking on water, and then it went backwards first. So the thing was sticking with the hull straight up. It was like vertical.
Yeah.
And stuck in the mud. I mean, some girl was standing on the top of it. She was just shaking like a leaf. It was just, it's actually quite interesting. But, you know, our barge stopped just in case, you know, they had to
pick someone out of the water.
Yeah, so they didn't move. So I got to see the whole thing. It was very entertaining of sorts. Anyway, there's that. But most of the time, it's just these boats full of 20 somethings with a disco. They usually have a DJ on the boat,
mm-hmm,
and a sound system that's cranked way up there and playing nothing more than a loud beat. And then everybody's kind of dancing on the boat as the thing goes through, you know, the crowds. And there was a couple of traffic jams. There must have been like 100 boats trying to get through this one, you know, underpass through one of the canal areas. It was very entertaining. The place is getting. Right now, it's probably, they were already getting drunk about 4 o'clock.
There was a nasty accident today. I saw pictures. A car that was, I guess the queen was on her double-decker bus saying hi to her minions with other members of the royal family. And then some car careened right through the crowd, killing 2 people, injuring 12. Looked pretty gnarly.
It may have even killed 4.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez.
But the... they said, you know, the reports are real sketchy because, you know, the thing ran through these people and then it rammed into a monument. And although there was a bike, the funny thing is you see the movie, there's like a guy on a bicycle just getting out of the way before it hits the monument. He could have been crushed.
Yeah, but the car looks crushed before it hits the monument. It like hit something before it even hit all those people. It's really weird.
I'm not sure that's true. I think that bounced off the monument. I think all the shots of it are... That's true. It seems to me like somebody had a heart attack or something, but they one of the early reports say they were out to get the queen or the royal family.
Yeah,
but this was a puddle jumper, you know, with a 3-cylinder engine, and they were in a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't make
sense. It's not really a match, is it? No.
So I don't know what the deal is.
Well, that's sad. That's sad. Tragic.
That wasn't around here, though. It was in Apple something or other.
Appledorn. Appledorn.
Yep.
Yeah. Of course, it was a completely Masonic structure that it crashed into.
Oh, it was. That's right.
It's a complete obelisk. It's a New World Order phallic symbol. I don't even know what that is. I have no idea what that monument is.
Yeah. I don't either.
But it's definitely Masonic.
Yeah, you see those a lot.
Yeah. Particularly anywhere near the Queen.
Maybe this is all just a message.
Yeah. Well, John. Hey, yes.
So I'm watching, by the way, just to not to get too much into the show yet. So I'm watching, you know, there's this thing, France 24. It's like one of the stations out of France. They have this news report on it. I just saw it a few minutes ago. And the main news reader, you know, the Katie Couric of the station.
Of the station, yeah.
France 24 is so hot, it's unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
And so then, I mean, she's just a blonde bombshell.
Right. So it's the French version of Fox News.
Yeah. And then they throw it, but it's actually better because, I mean, this girl's better looking than anyone on Fox.
Yeah, but she has hairy pits. Which, by the way, I have no problem with. I'm not offended by it.
She smells of cheese and wine.
But otherwise, she's smoking.
And so she throws it to the business reporter that's going to talk about, Chrysler, has decided to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And which has screwed up Fiat's plans.
Yeah.
And so they throw it to this other woman, Stephanie Antoine. And she's just as hot.
Yeah.
Just cracks me up. What is this broadcasting? What happened to, how did we lose our way?
Well, I mean, but the template is here, I've been sitting in hotel rooms for the past week. And of course, there's really nothing else on except hot babes doing news. I mean, that's just what television has become. I can't say I hate it.
Well, I think we should, whatever happened to the nude news?
That still exists. The naked news is what you mean.
Yeah, the naked news.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it still exists. It still exists. I was watching it just the other day.
All right, so what do you got on the agenda here?
Well, of course, of course we have no agenda. Well, I think obviously we need to talk about the swine flu.
My favorite thing about the swine flu is now they're saying, we have to change the name of it because it's offensive,
it's offensive to Muslims. Well, this whole thing... obviously, I have my own thoughts about this and some theories we should go through, but right off the top, you'd almost expect that this is just against the pork industry. I mean, it's the way this thing is positioned, and they're killing pigs now. I think in Egypt, they're culling the swine population. No, they're not even sick.
Yeah, I know. This is ridiculous. I think this is another vegan thing.
So what's the vibe over in Holland? Because, the in-laws are with the lady Patricia back in London. And so, of course, they're calling back to Holland and seeing how everything's going. And the Dutch government, as far as I understand, is basically saying, we're not going to be affected. Nothing to see here. Move right along. We will have no instances of swine flu in the Netherlands. Did you hear any of that?
Yep, that's exactly what they're thinking.
And, it's how misjudged is that?
Well, that's just the way they feel. There's a number of things I find peculiar about the mindset of the current current mindset of the population here. One is that exactly, which is they don't think anything's going to happen to them, and it's not a big deal if it does. Maybe one or two people would get something. And the other thing is the Obama thing is quite unique. I mean, everybody is so jacked up on this guy. It's unbelievable.
I know they're so smoking the dope. It's amazing,
and it comes from everywhere. By the way,
yeah,
I did give a talk to a little group of.
But they will actually get angry with you. I get Dutch people who get angry with me if I say, "Well, hold on. There's a couple of things. Obama is great," and the minute here's literally what I encounter in the Netherlands. If I say, I do have a few comments about our current president. And then the first thing is, you're just jaded, man. You're jaded. I'm like, what? I'm jaded? Jaded? I don't know what that means, but that's what you're jaded. I'm like, No. I'm an American and I pay attention to what's going on. You slaves.
So, I got a minor amount of flack, but not anything like that. It was mostly because I started off my little talk about discussing the fact that they're trying to get legislation so they can shut down the net if they want to.
Yeah.
These are people that develop for the cloud. That got their attention.
Yeah. But here's what you always hear. Oh, really? Oh, gee, I must have missed that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, they missed everything. But I did get some good. But anyway, so they're very much Obama, and then the argument is, well, Obama's like he's a good guy, and he's trying to make he makes friends, and he's not belligerent.
He's
friendly.
No, but that is true. You can't argue it.
Friendly guy.
He's a friendly guy. I got back, so I went to New York for 36 hours, and went over on the red eye, came back, a day and a half later. And I was just in time to see the prime time 100-day presidential press conference. Did you have an opportunity to see any of this fantastic show, John?
I only saw the snippets and then the critiques, and then I had to watch the CNN coverage of the voting. They
I saw that.
Sister. But you give them an A, a B, a C, or a D, and it was like, you know, and it was just, it was all over the place.
I was flipping through the channels, and I'm like, and I saw vote, you know, and a count on like 5 more minutes. I'm like, shit, what are they voting on? What's Senate voting on now? It's like, it's not Senate. It's the CNN audience voting on how the president did. I'm like, this is crazy. John, this was, once again, a completely orchestrated show. It was just unbelievable. I can't believe that. Do you know that when in Clinton's first term, also a Democrat, in 4 years time, he only did 2 national press conferences outside of the State of the Union, only 2 national press conferences because the networks would not give him the airtime. And Obama's had 3 in 3 months.
Yeah, he's going to have 12 before we're done with 1 year.
And it was 13 questions.
They love him to death.
It was 13 questions, and this was like a kindergarten softball game. It was just unbelievable. I'm sure you saw the question from the New York Times.
No, what was it? I missed it.
Mr. President, in your 100 days, and this is the New York Times, in your 100 days in office, what has surprised you? What has enchanted you?
If you were a tree, what kind of tree
exactly
would you be?
What has enchanted you, Mr. President? I mean, come on. What are these guys that New York Times thinking?
Is this like asking him what kind of tree does he want to be? Or if you were a tree, what would you be kind of question? Is this girl over 12 years old?
No, it was a guy. It was
a guy? Oh, my God.
It was what has... now I got to paraphrase. But the enchanted thing is just what floored me. What is it? What has excited you? What has enchanted you? What has surprised you?
This is Oprah? This is not a press conference. This sounds like Oprah.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it was. And it was slick, you know, it was slick. By the way, I'd like to point out one thing. I only have one observation from this show, because it was a complete show. I mean, it was set up, it was 13 questions, the president calls on people. He doesn't even know where they're sitting. He just has a list, you know, and he knows exactly what each person is going to ask, more or less. It's got to be. And he just times his answer. You know, it's like, well, I got 50 minutes, you know, so I'll just time my answers. He's got a big clock on the wall, and so, of course, the enchanted question is lovely. You know, he took his time on that one. By the way, the answer is our servicemen and women. Not, he said, I wouldn't use the word enchanting. But,
okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so
whatever. Yeah.
So okay, and anyway, so then they all rate him, and the American public gave him a B+. So off of that for a second, since I don't think we should even. It was a charade. We agree, right?
We agree wholeheartedly that it was a charade. Just disappointing, angering, John. I'm sorry. It angers me. What the press conferences? I mean, Helen, for God's sakes, Helen, Mr. President, she's sitting in the front row continuously. She never gets to ask a question. She's never called on. Now, here's the point I wanted to make: when the doors open and the president walks up that hallway up to the podium. You know, it's a beautifully lit hallway. May I just point out that not a single one of those light bulbs and those chandeliers is one of those freaking mercury-filled, energy-saving light bulbs? Why don't you get some of them ugly-ass, electricity-spewing, mercury-filled light bulbs in the White House, Mr. President? Start that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good
pisses me off.
All right,
you can
so
tell.
I got it.
You can tell. You know, you can tell by these light bulbs they're not energy-savers.
Oh yeah, no, they're soaking it up.
Yeah,
they're just gonna have to do cap and trade.
Oh God, oh so God.
So you didn't get to see? Well, I didn't get to see the press conference.
That's what you say. Yeah, go ahead.
You saw it? You saw Night? What is it called? News Night?
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I didn't see News Night.
Okay, News Night on the BBC this week. They had a complete documentary on Power Shift 09.
Oh, nice.
Now, powershift.org, people can go out there and check it out. It's a green activists. And essentially, the government has taken over this particular conference, and they loaded it up with Obama people. The keynoter was the EPA woman, Paul Podesta, one of the major staffers, second in command of one of these other guys, looked like the organizer from the way they had this thing structured, the way they did the show, this documentary. Bill Clinton was there. Everybody was loaded up. There was loaded up with these guys. And here's what I'm watching this thing thinking, well, this is just another. And they got all these kids. It's a bunch of young people. And they're getting them all pumped up with, this green stuff and, global warming. Mm. And so then they jump to showing some of the behind the scenes seminars. They always have the breakouts.
Oh, of course.
So the breakouts are training the kids on civil disobedience. Resisting arrest, how to do sit-ins properly, how to lock arms, how to do passive resistance. Wait a minute, let me get this straight. And anybody who happens to be one of those people, I'd like to ask a question. Since when does the government train the youth to do these sorts of things? The first thing I thought of was either Nazi youth or the young kind.
Well, wait a minute. No, this was American youth or British youth?
The first thing I thought of was either Nazi youth or the young Communist Party. This is training the youth. Well, when is the government training the youth?
Was this British youth or American youth? I'm confused.
American youth. This was all Americans. This show is a British show. But this was in the United States, this beating. And it was our government training kids to how to do sit-ins, how to lock arms, how to resist arrest.
But against who? There's resisting against the government?
There you go. Apparently not. I would think it's resisting against big business who doesn't do what they're supposed to do.
Oh, my
That's the
goodness.
Only thing I can think.
Oh, my
only
goodness.
Thing I can think.
Yeah.
It was stunning. I was shocked.
I saw Rahm Emanuel. He was interviewed on CNBC, and I didn't see the whole interview. I just saw a soundbite. But one of his answers was literally, we're in a fantastic place right now where there's an opportunity to figure out what the relationship really should be between big business and government. I'm like, oh, my God, the guy's just out and out saying it, that they want to have control. There's got to be some kind of takeover or some kind of relationship.
Yeah, and if you don't knuckle under, then the kids are going to be sent over there to protest, sit in, harass you, essentially. This is harassment. I mean, they're training the kids to be harassers, because it's just people who haven't signed on to 100% of the green initiative. And of course, the whole thing boiled down once again because of the keynoter and everybody else brought it up. Cap and trade, carbon credits, cap and trade.
So let's talk about cap and trade for a second.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we got to talk about this because and we have to get back to swine flu eventually, but the swine flu, whether intentional or not, is definitely a beautiful piece of cover for the legislation hearings that are going on right now in the U.S. Senate. Al Gore on the stand. And there were a couple of Republicans who were tearing him a new one. And it's about cap and trade. And we talked about this on the last show where the representative was asking him about his involvement and was he going to make money on his
green. Out and out lied.
And he out and out lied. Now, let me just bring up this this video. This is from earlier in the week. And hopefully we've had some massive problems with our connection. So I hope that playing this is not going to screw up our Skype connection. In fact, it's even coming up really slow. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I hate this. God, I can't wait to just be back in the regular Gitmo Nation East where shit works. All right, here we go. This is these are the hearings on climate change legislation. So this is a very big deal. This is where the taxes and indeed this cap and trade, whatever that may be, Now, just listen to Gore, man. You just got to listen to some of the shit he's saying. And I'll probably have to skip around a bit on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we debate what I agree is a very important piece of legislation, a piece of legislation, in my opinion, and many others would have a very detrimental effects on our economy if it was implemented the way it's been drafted. We've been trying to get a quantifiable grasp on the cost of this bill, how much it would actually cost American families, how many jobs would be created and lost. And we've
I like
number
that.
One on the science
created
side,
and
we've
lost.
Had very divergent views. We've had dozens.
All right, so I'm going to have to skip around in this. So Al Gore he's testifying.
That's not a cutesy issue. It's not an open issue.
It's your opinion. Obviously, you've stated it many times.
Would you talk to the cost? Opinion of the global scientific community, and more importantly,
and not in unanimity.
All right, now I have to back up because there are a couple of things that Gore says here. So he's basically being attacked by these Republicans who are saying, you know, hey, this global warming shit, you know, it's not even proven. And Gore like goes into this tirade about the science is not discussable, it's undisputable, everyone agrees, is what I'm trying to find.
Who have given completely different views.
Well, there
so are I would encourage you to go back and look at the testimony this committee's heard.
There are people who still believe that the moon landing was staged on a movie lot in Arizona.
Are you there, John?
Yeah, this is unbelievable. Somebody would throw that in. That's a specious bunch of crap.
I mean, can you believe that so the guy says, look, there are people who disagree with global warming, and he comes up and he says, oh, please, there are people who, by the way, I happen to be one of them. There are people who believe we didn't land on the moon. Now, I'm going to see if I can get to the piece that just blows me away. If not, I'm just going to paraphrase.
And neither
it here.
Of us was one of those. And I know you like giving those cute anecdotes. This is not a cutesy issue. We're talking about that can export millions of jobs out of our economy, out of our country. And testimony has been given just to those numbers. And so we're talking about a serious consequence that there would be on this country and the carbon leakage that would occur where the carbon would be emitted, but it would be emitted in China and India, and the jobs would go to China and India.
So what Steve Scalise is who is saying this. What he's saying is cap and trade, and of course no one really understands what cap and trade is. Cap and trade is essentially where there's taxes and an entire exchange of carbon emissions that will result in not actually spewing less emissions into the atmosphere, just moving it away from a country. So instead of it being spewed out in the United States, you trade these carbon emissions, the right, like a license to emit lethal carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, so China or some other country would buy those up and they'd just spew the shit in the atmosphere. And the whole point is that that this actually isn't going to do anything for the environment, but that it's going to do a lot for people who set up the exchanges. Now, here's the point, and I'm sure I just can't find it, John. You're still there with me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got to listen to
proposal in any way, shape, or form. Well,
it's near the end. God, crap. This is so poorly produced. Play.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't always produce it well because we don't.
The reason, in answer to your first question, why can't we ignore it? Because it's the biggest crisis we've ever faced.
And no one who's come before this committee from a scientific basis can show us the smoking gun that mankind is causing this to happen. You can create relationships between the number of sunspots and the partisan makeup of the Senate. Anything can be proven if you're willing to take the time to have the numbers.
Let me just go
to another point because it was
Could I respond to that?
No, I need to make this point. Dr. Apt, who was with us yesterday, and he said it so eloquently that we have to focus on reducing carbon dioxide.
Okay, no, so I can't find it, but in this bit, it's like 9 minutes. Here, listen to this. So one of these guys says, well, Mr. Vice President, I understand that you took several meetings with Ken Lay during your vice presidency. Ken Lay, of course, of Enron, and that he was a major advisor on the initiation and the founding of your cap and trade system. And Gore comes back, and this is what I wish I could find for you, and I just didn't have the time with whatever to set it up. What he says is, well, yeah, no, I had some conversations with Ken, but I didn't call him Kenny Boy. I didn't know him that well. I didn't call him Kenny Boy. So right here is such a gem of information that the people who set up the fake trading system that turned off the lights in California, responsible for actual deaths, people who fried in their homes, that the exact same scam is being set up for the so-called cap and trade. So that's really, it's like setting up a new NASDAQ or a new, electronic trading system.
Yeah, like with the oil.
Like with oil, exactly.
$200 oil thanks to these scammers.
And Gore, and by the way, did he eat himself? That guy's huge. He's big, a big boy. But he is, by the way,
and if you remember from last week, fat people are responsible for global warming, so he should be ashamed of himself.
I'm sorry I didn't have all of that set up. I thought it was a much shorter clip. It's like 9 minutes. But if you watch that, and just, you got to watch Gore's expressions. He's like, you know, sighing.
Yeah, he's like a 12-year-old.
Rolling his eyes, like, you guys are nuts, and this is proven. There's no dispute, and we're all gonna die if we don't use my cap and trade system. So I'm really.
You seem annoyed.
Well, annoyed, but we have this swine flu that's...
Right, 236 cases worldwide. By the way, for people who don't know the stats, about a half a million people a year die of the flu.
Yes, 36,000 to 40,000 people in America alone.
We have 236 cases of this flu
worldwide. Yeah.
So, and everybody's freaked out. Oh, here. So I'm watching this thing because I was watching CNN the other day, and all they talked about was this. They're trying to panic the public. I think these networks should be ashamed of themselves. They should be giving people good advice and making them learn things.
John, networks, newspapers, radio. I mean, there are people on the – I've traveled. There were people in the airport wearing face masks. This is crazy. I have the swine flu. I'm getting over it. I'm fine. Oink, I got a tail. I feel good. I had a sweaty weekend. I coughed. You know, I'm alive.
So I'm watching CNN, and they're talking about and they're cutting from place to place to place. And here they go. They cut to to the reporter in Virginia, of all places. I think it was Virginia because it was CNN. He just, you know, basically stepped outside. I guess they're actually in Atlanta. But anyway, so there was reporting from back east somewhere, and he's wearing the mask while doing the report. He's like talking through the mask with his report. There's nobody around him. There's nothing else going on, and he's got the stupid mask on. And I'm thinking, what is this person's crazy? This network, they should fire somebody like that.
So there's a very interesting parallel to be drawn. A very similar situation. In fact, it was Congressman Ron Paul who I heard speak about this just the other day. And he finds this whole situation interesting because in 1976, there was an outbreak of swine flu in the United States. Exact same scenario, except it didn't, a little different because it didn't originate in Mexico. It actually originated on an army base. And some of our listeners will remember this. There was, you know, the same thing. Oh, you know, it's horrible. We've got the pandemic. People are going to die. And yes, one or two people died from the flu, whether it was swine flu or whatever variant. But what was worse is they rushed through these bills to vaccinate everybody, which Ron Paul, who was probably just a congressman at the time, voted against, obviously, as one of the only two people saying, hey, you know, we shouldn't be in the business of healthcare, you know, or, you know, we're not doctors. We don't know what we're talking about. And what happened is 25 or 30 people died actually from the vaccinations. They had to stop the vaccination program. Do you remember that, John?
Oh, yeah. I think it was more than that. In fact, I was working at the time when this happened for the government. And one of the guys in our office got the swine flu because of the vaccination.
Yeah. Well, because a vaccination, by definition, is the virus. You are given the virus.
They put too much in.
Oops, sorry. sorry about that, buddy.
But I still think that the idea that there's a big stockpile of Tamiflu may have something to do with this. Oh, although the smokescreen theory is good too. But whatever the case is, the public is so stupid that if they think that eating pork has anything to do with this disease, this is an issue with the education system. The public has been allowed to become so stupid that they don't know the difference between, you know, an airborne disease and eating cooked meat as a transmitter of a disease. It's almost ridiculous.
Well, you know, but John, it's conditioning, it's training, and so I call home, and you know my wife and my daughter, you know, they know what we talk about. They know my stance on this stuff. And, you know, throughout this, you know, because, you know, she calls up, says, hey, man, you know, what's going on with the swine flu? I said, oh, honey, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. I got a cough, and I'm getting over it. And in fact, I am much better. And then, you know, so she's along for the ride. And then all of a sudden we go to level five. I call her last night, which was early this morning, UK time. And she's like, well, you know, you can hear that she's bought into it because she's conditioned by the way the whole news cycle works. And now we're at a very interesting point, which will be it's of interest to me because it concerns my family. But now that we have level five, the World Health Organization sets these levels. There's one more level to go. This my wife knows all too well, because level six basically means we're fucked, head for the hills. So five means all countries should enact or activate their pandemic flu programs, which means once again we're going to get into the probably obligatory vaccination realm. And I will tell you that I will not take a shot, but I do.
Why would you? If you already had been exposed and had gotten over it,
because
it would be
it's the same. It's the same education thing. People are stupid, and I have to say people aren't stupid. They're conditioned to be stupid, and I know that when it comes down to it, if there's forced vaccinations, my wife will take the shot. And it scares me. I don't know what to tell her, you know. And she's like, "Oh, come on." She said, "Oh yeah, I know it's not all that bad. It's just a flu."
See, this is because this is your fault.
Because it's my fault.
It's totally your fault because you take these crackpot positions on everything with no exceptions, and so then she doesn't take you seriously.
She doesn't take me seriously on any of my crackpot positions.
Obvious reason, because you're only crackpot. That's the problem. You're too consistently crackpot.
I'm not only crackpot.
So let's go over to something else that's kind of interesting in regards to this exact same story.
Well, can I just say one thing on this, just to finalize this one issue? So we're going to do a hedge, essentially. The hedge strategy is she takes the shot, I don't take the shot. Hopefully one of us will be alive to take care of our daughter. That's the hedge.
You've already had the swine flu, you said. So you wouldn't need to take the shot anyway. It's not much of a hedge.
I know, but even that she doesn't believe. Oh, you don't have the swine flu. See, of course, I just had a version of the swine flu, whatever flu is running around here. And I know other people who've had it.
You know, it could be pretty, yeah, you know, you might, it's actually possible. So let me bring up the story that makes this a little more interesting to me. Because as anyone who's listened to the show knows, I advocate everybody have a dose of Tamiflu or Relenza with them if they travel around and they don't want to really have to go through these symptoms. And I explained how this product works. I know you don't like the idea, but this is essentially it. So this guy, Marco, one of our producers, as a matter of fact, Marco in Portland goes to the doctor at Kaiser. And he's got the flu, or his daughter does, or somebody does in the family. I don't have the letter in front of me. And he says he'd like to get a Tamiflu for this flu. And the doctor says, "No, we're not giving out any Tamiflu." He says, "Well," and he tried to get it. You know, says, "I just need a prophylactic. I just maybe to prevent getting the flu in the future. I just wanted a prescription for the Tamiflu." And the doctor refused to give it to him, saying that they can't, at this point, give out any prescriptions for Tamiflu without clearing it through the CDC.
The CDC?
That's what it says.
The CDC? They're in control of this? Oh, I thought Napolitano was in charge of it. Isn't this Department of Homeland Security business?
I'm just telling you what he told me. I mean, maybe, you know, that I backed them up and said, "Hey, look, I bet you that's just Kaiser, because if I'm not mistaken, when you get a prescription from Kaiser, they cover like most of the cost of it, and Tamiflu is really expensive." And they're just saying, "Listen, you know, they probably had meetings saying, look, there's no swine flu around here. This is bogus. We're going to have people coming in here getting Tamiflu. It's going to cost us a fortune. Our numbers are going to go in the toilet." Just tell them no. Make something up.
Well, so,
I don't believe for a minute that the CDC has anything to do with prescriptions. If somebody out there can document that, I would be very interested.
So, you know that President Obama immediately asked for $1.5 billion in emergency funding for vaccination. You heard about this?
Yeah.
Okay, so that pissed me off because we know in the budget there's already $4 billion already built in for stockpiles. Why do we need this additional $1.5 billion? I don't get it.
These guys are spending like drunken sailors.
And it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. So anyway, position of this show is that there's really little to worry about, and I just don't understand why the media is on this. I mean, are they literally that programmed, or is it? It can only be a few things that are actually happening. Either A, the government knows that actually it is horrible, and we're all going to die, throwing up blood in the streets. Possible, I don't know, or it's just a complete scam, and apparently most of the news media is in on the scam, or everyone's so desperate for any inkling of ratings to make some money that they'll just do whatever and they don't care. I mean, I don't see any other option.
I like the guy with the mask. I mean, I wish I had that on tape. I just taking shots of it, pictures of it. So I think it's a combination of all those things, and also the stupidity factor. There's one other element that's cropped up, and I'm not absolutely sure. This cropped up late in the game, and I think it was done as a mistake or something in some way. I don't know that. I mean, this flu apparently is an H1N1 type, and you know they have these. You can have the variety of the way these things are pieced together. You get these different kinds of flus, and H1N1 is the kind of flu that was also called the Spanish flu, which is the one that killed 40 million people around the world. You know, in 1918,
yeah,
and
and we know we dug one of those guys up to take DNA just a few months ago.
And that brings up two other points. Actually, it was longer than that. We had that guy dug up. So I think it's got to be almost a year ago. But anyway, so there's the...
Time flies when you're having fun. What can I tell you?
It brings up a couple of interesting points. One, I only picked up on the H1N1 thing recently when they were trying to rename the flu. In other words, this thing got started, got underway, and it all of a sudden got the name swine flu. And so then they say, oh, shit, you know, we forgot to bring up the fact that it's H1N1. We can freak them out with that because
it's got to have an H and an N in there. You got to have those H and N.
How are we
going to
do that? We can't use that now. And he says, yeah, we can. Swine flu insults Muslims. Change the name. Change the name.
Right.
Because nobody, but no, the first thing they said, well, we could call it Mexican flu. You can't do that. It's very insulting. So anyway, so they tried to, but they couldn't manage it. So nobody knows it's H1N1. And then, so that whole propaganda thing is just blown out of the window. Now, the other thing is that if you remember when this thing first cropped up, there were two or three scientists that came in out of the blue and said, this thing has been structured.
Yeah, it's been engineered in a fact in a lab. There's no way that you can just have this unless, you know, you've got birds screwing pigs.
Exactly.
So, by the way, I think I've seen that movie on my hotel on demand.
You have to take a quick break because I have a knock at the door.
Oh, and of course I don't have my jingle ready because I'm just happy we've got all the stuff hanging together here. It's been a very challenging technical show, this one. Are you back? Okay.
In the morning.
while John is getting the knock at the door, I might as well tell you that there's a... I want him to listen. You back?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. So on April 22nd, CNN reported... So this is April 22nd is before it hit our shores, right?
April 22nd. Yeah, I think so.
Vials of a potentially dangerous virus have prompted an army investigation in the disappearance from a lab in Maryland. And it was vials of the Venezuelan equine encephalitis, a virus
encephalitis.
Yeah, that's what I mean. a virus that sickens horses and can spread to humans by mosquitoes. Now, this is all interesting because we know that there were 21 polo horses that died around the same period. There is just so much, certainly circumstantial evidence that says that this has been, you know, engineered somewhere. My God, Baxter International, the company that admitted that they put live bird flu virus into flu vaccinations, which was caught by the distribution company and was luckily, as far as we know, not distributed to people. They're the ones that have been tapped to make the vaccine for the swine flu. I mean, does it get any more transparent than that?
Well, it's not transparent to anybody, apparently. Except us.
Yeah. And then, of course, just to make sure that it was possible that this mystical virus spread to Europe, they had A couple of vials of the stuff explode on a train in Switzerland. I love that one.
Oh, I didn't get that story.
Oh, this
and
was,
I'm over it.
It was in Das Bild, which of course does fantastic reporting, the German Bild magazine. I'll read you the article. I thought I sent you this on email. I was so blown away by it. I Twittered it, and it got retweeted a lot. According to police sources, a technician from the National Center for Influenza in Geneva was traveling to Zurich carrying 8 glass containers, 5 of which held the swine flu virus. Of course, that you want to put that on a train, don't you? The containers holding the virus were commissioned by the Federal Office of Public Health for the Geneva Center in order to develop a test to detect swine flu. The vessels were, according to reports, securely packaged 3 times and hermetically sealed and cooled with dry ice. And here it comes, John. The
mayonnaise jar on fucking Wagnall's. Sorry, I blew the joke. It's an old Carson gag. Let's keep going. Sorry.
The packaging of dry ice, however, was clearly not done properly as pressure built up in the container during the journey. At 6:39 p.m., shortly before the train arrived at Freiburg Station, there was an explosion. So this flu exploded from the dry ice on the train. I mean,
unbelievable. Well, that's one way of getting it out. Just put a container with dry ice in it and heat it up and see how long it takes for blows.
It's now, of course, Mexico received $200 million dollars from the World Bank to help with their swine flu issues. Sanofi Aventis. I mean, there's so much, and all of this is in the show notes, by the way, at noagenda.mevio.com. You want to look through a lot of these. Sanofi Aventis announced on the 19th of March, before all of this started up, an agreement with the Mexican authorities to build a 100 million euro facility to manufacture influenza vaccine in Mexico. I mean, could it be any more clear that this thing is just all, and may I remind people that one of the major shareholders and former CEO of the company that makes Tamiflu is Donald Rumsfeld, one of the most evil guys in the country. Do people even know this?
Nobody cares. They just don't care. So anyway, that's our flu thing. And I think it's, people should, you know, my wife's freaked out. She's like, I guess like yours. She's, I'm worried, because her friend Teresa was in Mexico, Ensenada.
Yeah.
She's not even Mexico. she's coming
that's
back.
Like, that's like being in Austin, man. I mean, come on.
And you have the 236 known cases worldwide. And I just say, people, this is another thing with the dumbing down of the public. Do the math. We have 350 million people in this country alone.
Yeah. 120 people a day die on the U.S. roads.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, I know. It's amazing to me that, again, people just don't, they just think everything's, there's 3 people in the world, what they're one of them, and the other 2 are sick, and they're going to die, and they're going to pass it on to them. And I just don't understand it quite, but, it's just the way it is. So what else do we have on our list? Oh, I got one for you. This is a topper.
Okay. Hit me.
So I'm going to all these fancy restaurants throughout Holland, and I will have a report.
Yes, good, because I'm sure I've been to a few of them, and I wouldn't mind hearing.
I'm finding that they're so much the same, all the top ones. I mean, in terms of decor, in terms of the way they present the food, and in fact, the scraper thing is even the same from place to place. I find it distressing. There's one consulting firm, obviously, doing all these great restaurants. So we're at one of these places, and at the bottom of the menu, it says, and I think there's we're missing the opportunity here. The hostesses are dressed by Max Mara and Suit Support.
Oh,
the maitre
d'
is dressed by Suit Support.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, this is an opportunity. John C. Dvorak's wardrobe provided by...
Giorgio Armani.
Yes, to say the least. Hey, man, do we have any updates on donations? I know you've been busy. You might not have had a chance to log in and see,
yeah, there's a few. We don't have another night, but we have a few, and I'll run through them on Sunday when I can just put them together. I did have one guy complaining that we shouldn't be getting any donations because we both have jobs, and we are getting paid by our employer, so why do we need money? I figured the guy's either 12 years old or an idiot.
Yeah, really.
And He says he'd never give us any money ever.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Because we're working, we have other jobs, and so we shouldn't get paid for this. We should be doing it free for him, I guess.
Can I just say one thing? People really need to check themselves who think that way. Because, yeah, we have jobs. Do you know how hard I know I work? I know every single person at Mevio works, and including yourself, and you have multiple gigs, and you're really only, I guess, part-time at the company. But we are a small company. We get no fucking tax breaks. We get no TARP money. We get, in fact, exactly the opposite. And we're pushing to make shit work and to keep everything alive in this economy. And around us, everyone is stealing money left and right. And we're just trying to keep 60 people employed and their families, fed. Cause I literally these days, I see it that way. And then people are going to, talk shit about entrepreneurs and people who are just trying to keep shit running. Check yourself.
None of this is helped by the Sarbanes-Oxley, by the way. But anyway, we do support, or we do need your support, and we appreciate people who do support the show. And you can do so by going to Dvorak.org/NA or the noagendalibrary.com.
And well, I just want to say that, of course, if you can't support us financially, obviously we're very happy if you tell a friend, if you redistribute the show, if you link to us, and anything you can do to help is highly appreciated. But just to say, oh, you got a job, man. Yeah, indeed. What are you, 12?
So I just saw the car again hit that monument.
Yeah.
And it was damaged, I guess, when he ran over, hit somebody.
I told you, it hit something previously. It must have, it looks like it careened off of something. I don't know.
I think a person. So, anyway, yeah, no, we go to Dvorak.org/NA and we are still collecting weird numbers and people are like, getting a kick out of that. And although I think it's running dry. And we still would like to get more $50 and $100 donations where you'll get mentioned. And also, obviously, the knighthoods are always available. So, anyway, back to the show.
The big show.
Big show. And we don't, by the way, we don't spend a lot of time. I mean, if you did it by, I think that was like 45 seconds. I mean, we don't sit here and go on and on and on for hours and on end, which we're going to have to do eventually if we don't get more response.
Someone had an interesting idea, emailed me. I think you were copied on it, and said, one of the donation ideas, or we could do a pledge drive and we could give away a meal with you and I. And I'm thinking, we have enough money in the kitty to actually, let's say, if we're both in San Francisco, we could take some of that money and fly someone out.
Yeah, we could. We could have maybe, we can arrange something. I said that I didn't think we're together in the same town enough of the time to make that work, because it has to coordinate with the other person too. But yeah, we can come up with something like the dinner with Adam and John, if you want to, I don't know if that, I'm thinking, you'd give us $100 and get into a lottery and then you get dinner with Adam and John, or you could give us $200 and you wouldn't have to worry about the lottery.
You wouldn't have to go with us.
No, you wouldn't have to go to dinner with us. You stepped all over the punchline. So,
yeah, I'm sorry. I fucked that up, didn't I?
Yeah, that's okay. That joke is an old setup. I can do it a million times.
Letterman has the swine flu, by the way. This I know you don't know.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, he was on. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like this in my life. He was on. He had lost his voice completely. I'm not talking like just a little bit, John. It was like, and he was standing. I'm like, why is he even doing the show? And it was so bad. He had the cue card guy do the opening monologue. Then he tried to do the top 10 and he couldn't get through it. And he said, Paul, why don't you do the top 10? Schaefer does the top 10. The guy cannot speak. Then he has Jennifer Gardner comes out, and so everyone was really nice, and they got him through it. But it was I couldn't watch it. It was so because when you can't talk, then your timing is off. It was really he was like an old man, which he is, but he was like a really old man, and it was, I couldn't believe he was on the air, and it was complete swine flu.
Something happened to Leno, and he was like hospitalized, and he.
He had a great joke in the monologue. So it's so nice to be here to watch some of that stuff. So He did. He went to the hospital, and everyone's freaking out, of course. You know, if Jay Leno goes, then NBC really has no programming. They have nothing to draw in any ratings, and they're about to move him to this new 10 o'clock time slot in the States. And so he says, you know, some people thought I had a heart attack. Some people thought that, you know, I had food poisoning. He said, but in reality, you know, I had had the erection for more than 4 hours, and I really needed professional help.
Very funny.
Yeah, I thought that was a good one.
So talking about that kind of thing, another letter writer, and I don't have it in front of me again because I don't have enough equipment here. I'm in a hotel, so I don't have these screens I can open up. But somebody did send a nasty note about talking about NBC programming. Law and Order Special Victims Unit, April 29th episode with Hillary Duff. You know about this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so the story is about a mom whose daughter dies, and she covers up the death. She dies of, I guess, measles.
Yeah,
and she covers up the death, and then she gets caught as a murderer, and then it turns out that it was her daughter died of measles, and she just couldn't deal with it. And then they found another girl who had measles that. And her mom didn't vaccinate her against measles, and so they indicted her for homicide because of her negligence. Because if she didn't vaccinate her daughter, which she should have done, and her daughter gave measles to the other girl who died,
then she's guilty.
Directly responsible. She's guilty. And they ran this story, which, by the way, got a lot of flack in the various forums. Which is a disgusting story to run because it's a bogus story. They never had measles vaccines when I was a kid. We all got measles.
Yeah.
You know, nobody
you got the measles, you got over it, and you went back to school.
And here's what the funny thing is about this particular episode. Yeah. So I decided to look it up on the NBC website.
It's not there.
No, it's there. Oh. Well, no, it's not yet because it just hasn't posted yet, but right. It will be. But what was interesting is on the website, there's a bunch of ads on the right-hand side.
Oh, let me guess. MMR? Oh.
CDC.
Oh, Jesus.
A callback to our earlier part of our show. The CDC has an ad on the NBC site for adult measles vaccine.
Adult measles vaccine? Ah, man.
I knew you'd love that.
Does
one.
Does no one see what's going on? Do we not? Are we not aware of what is happening before our very eyes? Jeez Louise.
One time I was talking to my doctor about, and all of a sudden the hepatitis. I have a doctor who's fairly organic, and he doesn't believe in a lot of stuff. And he, in fact, and he takes acupuncture courses. And he, I was talking to him because I said, I was just reading about a hepatitis B vaccine. I said, hepatitis B, is that the one people get? I mean, what is the purpose of that vaccine? He said, don't take it. He says, unless you're just working with blood 24 hours a day, what is the point of this vaccine? And anyway. Okay, wait. Here's the topper.
Okay.
I'm still not
full here. Right. You're not done yet. Working, no, good.
I get to Europe. You know, there's a lot of action here. I don't see.
Things are
slower back there.
Yeah.
You know.
No shit. Yeah. All I got is Letterman and Leno and swine flu. I mean, that's all the inputs I'm receiving here.
Okay, so I'm working with the software company, and there's a guy, and they're connected to a lot of agencies, and I'm told the following. According to Spanish military intelligence. Al-Qaeda, they believe Al-Qaeda is for the next big event, because they do them every 8 years, right? The 2009 event's coming up.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. It's time. Ding, ding, ding.
Al-Qaeda is targeting Spain because apparently the powers that be in the Spanish military intelligence actually believes this to be true. They're still irked about the fact that the Muslims don't own – the caliphate doesn't still own Spain, and they decided they're going to take them back because they knuckled under so easily over that, you know, when they had the trains and they, you know, remember they blew those trains up?
Yeah, yeah.
And the next thing you knew, they voted out the guy from the president. The guy was actually standing up for, you know, our invasions. They got him voted out. Because the Spanish just knuckled under, so they figure they're gonna try to take him on.
Unbelievable.
Could be true. Anyway, that's a little insight. We'll see.
From Gitmo Nation, north, north, northwest, from Canada, You know, we it's hard to track everything. You can't take your eye off the ball because even though we're, you know, we're very unsuccessful at combating this horrible swine flu, the pirates, of course, still reign off the coast of Somalia. And I just, and someone's, one of our Canadian producers sent me this, this article, what the, because of course, we, you know, every country in the United Nations, I might add, is sending huge warships over there. And what are the Canadians doing? You got to love the Canadians. They have a new tactic. Here's what they do. They fly helicopters near the pirates with a sign that says stop in Somali. And it works, apparently. So they have a big sign that says, stop, you pirates. Stop in Somali. Stop. And it works.
Well, who knew?
It's unbelievable.
That is funny.
Of course, because it's just kids. You know, it's just 18-year-old punks. Like, oh, all right, okay, we'll stop. All right, I'm sorry.
By the way, that brings up another point, which is what happened to that guy that they brought to New York City?
Oh, dude, it was just grandstanding. You know, that's all a part of the media show.
There's been
show.
No follow-up on this.
No, of course not, because we've got swine flu. Why would we want to follow up on anything else? Please, give me a break. From the world of aviation, the Dutch released, I guess, another preliminary report on the Turkish Airlines crash. And so now they haven't actually given us a transcript or a copy of the flight data recorder or the cockpit voice recorder. But the alarm was going off well before they were in any trouble, notifying this crew that the altimeter was off. So they knew it because what happens is you get a ground proximity warning saying, you know, it, literally a voice in the cockpit says, I'm trying to think on the Boeing what it says, but it, you know, it's like warning ground 50 feet, you know, something like that. And they could see that they weren't at 50 feet. So these guys knew what was happening. They knew that the altimeter was off and still this horrible accident takes place. There's so much more to that one, John. It stinks.
Apparently.
It stinks. Completely stinks.
Now, see, you're getting that. See, this is why I'm so grumpy when I'm back in the San Francisco Bay Area. You're starting to sound like me.
I'm not grumpy, actually. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that the bird flu is over, and of course I missed the presidential flyby in New York by one day. That was a shame. That was quite a. You got that news, didn't you?
Oh yeah, they flew a jet around, and now it's a big scandal. That's another. Don't look here.
Oh yeah, nothing to see here. I so do not believe the story that, oh, we were just doing a photo op. I mean, I can't believe it. It's not true. Something else happened.
Well, yeah, and here's the reason that's, you're probably right. And here's the reason. Why would they tell the New York Police Department point blank not to warn anybody that this was going to happen in advance so they could be, you know, aware of it? They made a big deal out of it. They said, no, you cannot tell anyone we're going to do this. Why did they, what would be the point of that? And then the New York police, who always distrust the feds, say they're not going to listen to these guys anymore ever because it caused because they ended up eating crap over the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking, by the way, for people who don't know, that they took the presidential 747 and flew it around the Statue of Liberty for photo ops in the middle of the day, and it freaked everybody out in New York. You know, of course, everyone's skittish because there's.
People were evacuating their office buildings.
Yeah, they were freaking out. And so meanwhile, then the follow-up to this is that Obama was livid.
You know, who says Obama wasn't on the plane?
He could have been. I don't know that he was livid either.
I think he was on the plane and something happened and there was a reason to divert. And, you know, when the news reports came out, it's like, it was the backup plane. What do you mean backup plane?
That's I never heard of
bullshit.
A backup plane.
There's no
either.
Backup plane.
I've never heard of a backup plane.
As far as I know, there's only one any plane the president is on is deemed or is codename Air Force One. But this was the plane. I don't think we have two of them.
I never heard of that we had two of them.
Oh, well, of course, we have two Obamas, so it would make sense we have two. It would make sense that we have two Air Force Ones.
Well, the funny thing is, if they do have a second one and they've never mentioned it before. because of security reasons? What was the point of blowing it by telling everybody there's two of them? Let's watch the way they backpedal on that one.
Yeah, and Robert Gibbs, he immediately was asked in the daily press conference. He's like, I don't know. His answer was even better than that. He's like, you need to talk to the White House. Well, who the hell are you then? So you got to ask. You got to ask the White House. So the White House, isn't that you, dude? I don't get it.
It is him. What is that?
And I'm sure you probably didn't see the finally we got one on tape. The Obama teleprompter gaffe.
Oh, by the way, we do have that. I think there's going to be a lot of those in the months to come. By the way, I don't think it was that Obama was diverted, because they told the New York Police Department way in advance of that fly around. And that's when they told him they couldn't mention it, because they actually had clearance for it. That's my understanding. There's something. I think they were doing it just to see if they could scare the public. There's something screwy about it.
Well, I was what's interesting is I immediately, of course, I go to try and find air traffic control reports. You know, if you've got an F-16, and I only saw one, but apparently there were two, and you've got the president's jet doing low flybys over Manhattan, you know, the rest of the air traffic has to know about that. And I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find any reports or any restricted airspace or anything like that. It's very strange. And just to say, oh, well, yeah, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it just doesn't cut it with me. Something else, and that's, I don't have the jingle on standby, but definitely nothing to see here. Please move along, folks. Sorry about that.
Yeah, they need to do some explaining, but nobody cares because of swine flu and Obama's 100 days.
I will charge QCAS with advising me about national strategies to nurture and sustain a culture of scientific innovation. In addition to John, sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up.
Move it up.
I'd already introduced all you guys. In biomedicine.
And he just goes on like nothing happened.
Move it up. Well, he's going to fire somebody over that. I mean, what does it take? What does it take to move the teleprompter around, you know, accurately?
Well, these, you know, because of course these are all electronic teleprompters. Back in the day, I actually used one that had a conveyor belt with a camera hovering over it with pieces of paper that were slid underneath it. That was the original teleprompter idea.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy for a page to pop up or some, you know, flunky was in. I mean, it's easy to screw that up. You see it happen all the time. In fact, watch any of the news networks and you see it happen continuously. And they'll even say, what are we doing? I love that CNBC, Mark Haynes always says, and what are we doing now?
Yeah, no, there's a way to cover your ass when the teleprompter blows up. Yeah. The time I was at Tech TV once and the thing dropped dead on me, just dead.
Yeah.
There was no problem. And it wasn't going to, and it was a live show. And it wasn't coming back. And so I had to read from the cards, or the sheets.
Yeah, which is good practice anyway. You know, you should be able to do that.
Yeah, you should. But the funny thing is, it was the first time that ever happened to me in my life. So I did a crappy job of it.
Oh.
Because I wasn't prepared. But the next time, it happened again, like about a year later, and I was solid with it. And that's why, actually, when I do Cranky Geeks, I don't even use a prompter. I just go right to the cards.
Yeah, you're such a professional.
No, it's just fun to do. So, if I was a professional, I'd have a college degree. There's a punchline in there somewhere. Yeah, somewhere. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong time zone to be funny.
Yeah. It's hard for me too, man. I mean, and by the way, I'd just like to point out that people who live on the West Coast of America, Gitmo Nation Northwest, are completely clueless and do not give a rat's ass about the rest of the world. And I'll prove my point. I work in London. And people set up meetings that, that involve me that are like 3 a.m. You know, there's never ever one single bit of consideration for this little thing called time zone difference. And at 6:30 this morning, my frickin' phone rings and it's John C. Dvorak like, hey, good morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to do the show? Like, and I said, John, it's 6:30. Like, oh, I must have miscalculated it. What is with Americans that do this?
No.
People on the West Coast, even like, oh, well, I got to call London. Oh, that's really expensive. People still think it's expensive to call overseas. But it's so hard to calculate 8 or 9 hours time difference.
Did you not get enough sleep?
It's just rude. Your wife is so right. You're a rude bastard.
Oh, you didn't get enough sleep, and you're grouchy. You need a nap.
Yeah, I do. I need a nap big time.
I think that wraps us up. We'll be able to, well, actually, now we're going to both be on the West Coast. And the funny thing is, when we were both on the West Coast, even though the connection will
stick. Yeah, the connection will suck more than, more
it'll
than usual.
It'll suck.
Okay, well, I have a feeling that we're missing all kinds of stuff. Let me just have a quick look through. I mean, everything, you're so right. You know, often I'm sitting over there in Gitmo Nation East, and I'm surprised that you don't know about half the shit that's going on. But when you sit here, there is literally nothing that, I mean, is there even a, do they print a different version of the Financial Times here in the U.S.? I mean, this thing is full of crap as well. Is this just the U.S. version, or is this international? I don't understand it. You have no news here. No news.
Yeah, no, I know. I've been trying to tell you this, and you just keep, you get back over here, and again, you'll forget.
Well, at least I won't forget the 8-hour time difference.
Okay. You can take a nap.
I can take a nap now. All right. Only one more week, my friends, and we'll be back to our normal schedule and our normal places and our normal show prep, and we'll have things a little more set up. So apologies for the timeliness of the program, for the interruptions due to Skypeology. And there you have it.
That's right.
So what's the deal? When are you flying back, man?
I'm coming back Saturday.
Okay.
I'll get back in Saturday night late.
Okay. Can we do Sunday show like at a normal time?
Like what?
I don't know. I need a nap. Can we not do it at 8 in the morning? No, I don't know. How about 11? How about 11? It's Sunday.
All right. 11's okay. I can do 11.
Yeah, no one else will care. Everyone's fine with it. I think that even this show going up late, probably more people are interested because we normally do it so damn early. So. Okay. So, conclusion, John?
Conclusion is the same as last week. We the swine flu is questionably of importance, and we could use your help at dvorak.org/NA.
Yes. And I'm confused. Never mind. I messed up the timing of the here, let me do this. Okay, great. I'm sucking. Coming to you from an undisclosed backup crackpot command center in Gitmo Nation West in San Francisco, I'm Adam Curry.
And here in Amsterdam, old Amsterdam, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Sunday, probably around 11 Gitmo Nation West time. Talk to you then on No Agenda.